Amen. All right. Well, we want to, again, thank everybody for being here tonight. I did want to announce that we have 188 people in church tonight. So praise the Lord for that. And we are glad that you are here. Keep your place there in Psalm 33, if you would. That's we're going to come back to it here in a minute. But I'd like you to go with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 51. If you got your place in Psalms, right after Psalms, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 51. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 6. Isaiah 51 and verse 6 says this, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in his iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." Notice verse 7, "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken her wine, therefore the nations are mad." In Psalm 51, excuse me, in Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah actually 50 and 51, we have a passage in the book of Jeremiah dealing with what we refer to as end times Babylon. And this is, of course, the nation at the end of the world, at the what we refer to as prophetically the end times, that is going to be the world that's going to unite, give the Antichrist the ability to be able to unite the world under a one world government and a one world religion. Babylon, physically, literally, of the time is being spoken here, but prophetically, we are speaking here about end times Babylon. And what we see in this passage, and I'm not going to take the time to explain that or go through that. If you've never heard that before, or if you're not sure what that means, I would encourage you to check out our documentary called Babylon USA, where you can find it on YouTube, or we can try to get you a copy. And we go through and explain all that. What I want you to notice is in verse 7, it gives all this stuff about Babylon. Babylon, end times Babylon, is generally a negative. It's spoken of in a negative way. It's a nation that's being used by the Antichrist to bring in a one world government, one world religion, all those things. Here in verse 7, we're told that Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. This is actually a positive reference to Babylon. The fact that at one point it was used of God. God was able to use it like a golden cup, something that he valued, something that he was happy about. He was able to use it in the Lord's hand. And we have this reference to the fact that at one point Babylon was being used of God in a positive way. And again, I believe, and our church's position is, that the United States of America is end times Babylon. The United States of America is that nation that's going to be used to bring in a one world government, to bring in a one world religion. And today, especially around conservatives, you find many people saying, you know, this statement, "Make America great again." But the truth of the matter is that I do believe that America was once, to some point, to some extent, as far as nations go, it was a golden cup in the hands of the Lord. It was a nation that was being used of God, and it was, in some ways, great. However, the United States of America that we live in right now is not that nation. It's not great tonight. It's not great today. And I want to just take a few minutes tonight. People think if they turn their music on, they're going to make me go, less, but it just pisses me off more, so we might go louder and longer. I want to give you some thoughts in regards to what made America great, because tonight America is not great. Tonight America has a lot of problems. Tonight America has a lot of issues. But there was a time when America was great. They thought, okay, well, maybe he will go shorter if we turn it off. Once they thought America was a place that was being used of God, but that has changed. That is no longer the case. Go back to Psalm 33 if you would. I realize we're at a park and you're probably not able to write notes, but let me give you some thoughts tonight. I want to give you four thoughts in regards to what once made America great. What once made America great? Number one, I'd like you to notice tonight, what once made America great was America's emphasis on the Word of God and the house of God. Our nation once had an emphasis on the Word of God and on the house of God. Obviously, America as a whole and Americans, by and large, have never all been saved, and we don't believe that Americans were all Christians at some point. We realize that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. We realize that most people are not saved. If you go soul winning with us and you talk to enough people who are religious, you'll find out that most people, even religious people, are not saved. We understand that. But our nation did once, as a society, as a culture, emphasize the Word of God and the house of God. That's why even our national buildings and historic buildings will have the Word of God inscripted on the walls. Why? Because America once had an emphasis on the Word of God. And whenever a nation emphasizes the Word of God or the house of God, it will be a blessed nation. You're there in Psalm 33. Look at verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible says that when we make God the Lord of our nation will be blessed. When we observe the house of God and the Word of God, go to Deuteronomy if you would. Towards the beginning of the Bible there, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look at verse number 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments." This is a reference to the Word of God. "Even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess." Verse 6, "Keep therefore and do them." That's what we're talking about this morning. We're not just supposed to observe the Word of God, we are supposed to do the Word of God. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say." Notice, here you have the nation of Israel, and God is telling them, when people hear about your laws, the statutes of the Word of God, they shall hear them and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as the laws which are set before you this day?" See, the closer that a nation aligns itself to the Word of God and to the house of God, that will be a blessed nation. There's no debate as to whether or not the United States of America has been a blessed nation. This has been a prosperous land. God's allowance of His blessing has obviously been upon our people. But the reason for that is because in the past, Americans did, to some extent, uphold to the Word of God. Today, America has, by and large, walked away from God. America has kicked God out of the governmental system. America has decided that we no longer want to be a Christian nation. We want to be a pagan nation. We want to be a heathen nation. We want to be a nation that no longer upholds and no longer encourages and no longer promotes the Word of God or the house of God. Today we're told that regular church attendance has dropped from 70% of our population in the 1960s. In the 1960s, 70% of Americans went to church. That has dropped to today, just 20% of Americans attend church regularly. More than 2 million people, we're told, have left churches every year for the past 7 years. In just 8 years, the percentage of the U.S. population calling themselves Christians has decreased from 78% to 70%. Over half of Americans never attend church. 68% of all American churches in the United States have a congregation with less than 100 people, including children, and half of those churches have less than 50 people. Two-thirds of all American churches are experiencing no growth and a decline in numbers. And again, today, conservatives want to say, "Oh, let's make America great again." But let's remember, what made America great was the fact that people went to church. Even if these churches, and we understand that most of these churches were not preaching the true gospel, are not preaching salvation by grace through faith, but they're at least teaching the morals and character and integrity that came to the Word of God. See, today people say, "Let's make America great." Okay, well, let's get back to church then. Because that's what made America great. You say, what was it that made America great once? It was when people, by and large, had an emphasis and a respect for the Word of God. Even when people did not consider themselves Christians, they at least had respect for the Bible and respect for the church house and respect for the things that the Word of God teaches. In the past, America did uphold the Word of God. I'm not saying most Americans were saved. I'm not saying most Americans were godly. But there was at least a respect for the things of God. Today, America has walked away from God. So if you want to know what made America great once, it was their adherence to the Word of God. It was their adherence to the house of God. Go with me to Psalm 128, if you would. Psalm 128. Look at verse 1. Psalm 128 and verse 1. I said number one tonight, what once made America great was America's emphasis on the Word of God. Secondly, tonight, I'd like you to notice that what once made America great was not only America's emphasis on the Word of God, but it was America's emphasis on the nuclear family. Psalm 128 and verse 1, I want you to notice what Psalm 128 verse 1 says. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Notice there in verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." One of the blessings that God said that would come upon a nation was when they would fear the Lord and when they would have wives and children. When men would get married and they would produce children. In fact, the Bible teaches that, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. See, in America, there was once an emphasis on the nuclear family. And again, we understand that sometimes people don't get married and it just doesn't work out that way and they don't have children. And we understand that. And sometimes that's the way it goes. But there used to be a time in our country when there was an emphasis on the idea that what you were supposed to do was you were supposed to grow up, get married, and then there was a husband, and there was a wife, and there were children, and the husband went to work and provided for the family and protected the family, and the wife stayed home, and she was a keeper at home, and she cared for the house, and the children were raised by their parents. See, in the past in America, there was a strong emphasis on the nuclear family unit. The idea that there is a dad, that there is a mom, that there are children, that they perform, that they create a family. But today in America, the nuclear family is under attack. In fact, there used to be a time in our country, and I realize people have go through heartaches and they go through difficult times in their lives, and maybe they end up divorced, and we understand that. And look, we're not against you, we're for you. God wants to forgive you and we want to help you move on. But there used to be a time in our country where you went to school, even a public school, and most kids in the classroom went home to a mom and a dad. And in fact, if there was a child that came from a divorced family, that was a rare thing. That was something that was unusual. It was like that was the one kid in the classroom whose parents were divorced. Today, it's different. Today, it's rare if you have a mom and dad that are both your mom and dad, and you go home and you live with your mom and your dad, and you're a family unit. Today, 42%, we're told, to 45% of marriages end in divorce. That's actually a rate that has declined in recent years. But before you celebrate, oh, there's a decline in divorce, that's a good thing. Just keep in mind, it's not necessarily a good thing. The reason that there has been a decline, and that's still a high number, 42 to 45% of marriages end in divorce. That's a high number. But the divorce rates have declined not because divorces are in a decline, but because couples cohabitating, or what the Bible would call fornicating, has increased. A larger share of adults, we're told, have cohabitated than have been married. Among adult ages 18 to 44, 59% have lived with an unmarried partner at some point in their lives, while 50% have been married, according to Pew Research. Most Americans, 69%, say cohabitation is acceptable even if a couple doesn't plan to get married. 37% of U.S. adults favored allowing gays and lesbians to wed in 2009, a share that rose to 62% in 2017. Gay and lesbian parents are raising 4% of all adopted children in the United States. More than 16,000 same-sex couples are raising an estimated 22,000 adopted children in the United States tonight. More than 16,000 adopted children are living with lesbian and gay parents in the state of California tonight. Same-sex partners in the United States are four times more likely than different-sex partners to be raising an adopted child. I'm here to tell you, America is no longer great, because there used to be a time in our country when a child would go home to his mother and his father, and that was promoted, that was accepted, that was the norm. And today, we're telling homosexual partners that they can raise children. Today, we're telling people that it's okay to fornicate, it's okay to divorce, it's okay to do whatever it is that you decide to do. See, what made America great was an emphasis on the nuclear family, but the nuclear family is under attack. The LGBTQ mafia today has decided that they want to attack the nuclear family. You say, Pastor, I don't know if you should be talking about this. We're out at the park right now and people could hear you. Well, you know, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They got to turn the music up because they don't want to hear what I have to say. Some of you, it'd be good for you to say amen. Let them know that there's some people who still think it's normal and still think it's right to preach against two men going to bed together. There's an attack on the nuclear unit. A famous group called Black Lives Matter, which has nothing to do with race, and their stated goal on their website is to destroy the nuclear family. Explain to me what that has to do with race and racism. You can call yourself Black Lives Matter, then we're Bible-believing Christians. We love black people. We love brown people. I am one. We love red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. But please explain to me what that has to do with destroying the nuclear family. What does race have to do with two men going to bed together? What does race have to do with two women getting married together? What does race have to do with two reprobates adopting children and molesting them and destroying their life? What does race have to do with that? But yet today in America, we're told, oh, let's make America great. Well, I'm all for making America great, but here's what made America great. The fact that there was an emphasis on the nuclear family. The fact that it was a shame to end up in divorce. The fact that it was a shame to end up pregnant outside of marriage. And again, if that's where you are and that's where you find yourself, then we love you and we want to help you and we want to help you grow in Christ. But let me tell you something. We've got to get back to the place where we're teaching our children, you stay pure and you stay clean and you get married and you raise your kids for God. What made America great once was the fact that there was an emphasis on the nuclear family. The fact that there was an emphasis on fathers raising their children, fathers protecting their families, fathers promoting their families, providing for their families, moms staying home with their children and raising their kids. Say, can America be great tonight? Not while 16,000 Californians are being raised by same-sex couples, no. That won't bring God's blessing. That'll only bring His judgment. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. You're there in Psalms. You go Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You say, what made America great? It was an emphasis on the Word of God. What made America great? It was an emphasis on the nuclear family. You say, what made America great? You know what made America great was an emphasis on hard work and opportunity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Whither thou goest, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. The Bible teaches that there are two things that will help you be a success in your life. One is hard work and one is opportunity. Verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 9 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's hard work. Then in verse 11, we're told, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, that the battle is not to the strong, that the bread is not to the wise, riches are not to men of understanding, favor is not to men of skill. Notice that part of verse 11. But time and chance happeneth to them all. What is that? That's opportunity. You know, here's what we believe. We believe that you work hard and God will bring the opportunities your way to help you succeed and grow. That's what we used to call the American dream. People used to say that in America, America was a land of opportunity. America was not somewhere. We used to have a culture in this country where migrants would come into this country not to receive a handout, but because this was the land of opportunity. This was a place where you could work, where you could get to work, where whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with my might. And then time and chance happened to them all. You did hard work, and then opportunity met you. And you did hard work, and then opportunity showed up. See, in the time past, this was a land of work and opportunity. Today, America is a welfare society. Today, we are told an estimated 59 million Americans receive welfare during an average month. Today, we are told 21.3% of the U.S. population participates in government assistance programs each month. Today, we are told that more than 3.5 million Californians are on food stamps. Today, we are told that 4 out of 10 Americans are part of the welfare program for more, have been part of the welfare program for more than 3 years. And look, I'm not against helping people that need help. And if there are elderly people or disabled people that need the help, then we should be happy to help them. And, you know, whether the government should do that or whatever, I believe the Bible teaches that those types of things, widows and orphans should be cared for through the people of God and through the house of God. We obviously live in a different society than that. I'm not against people who need help getting the help, but I'm here to tell you that today we live in a country where a bunch of guys that have nothing wrong with them, they have well-abled bodies that can go to work, and they choose not to. They choose to be lazy. They choose to allow the government to support their needs and provide their needs. And I'm just saying, we want to make America great. Well, great, let's do it. But here's the thing. What made America great was an emphasis on hard work and opportunity. You work hard and opportunity will meet you. You work hard and time and chance happen to them all. But today, we're a welfare society. Today, people are being supported by the government. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, here's the problem. When you're dependent on the government, then you're not independent. We're supposed to be celebrating Independence Day today. Well, I can't be independent of the government while I'm physically dependent on the government. You say, Pastor Jimenez, what gives you the guts to stand up in a park like this and say these things that are not popular today? Here's what gives me the confidence and the ability to do it, is that I don't need the government's help in any way, shape, or form. Our church doesn't need the government's help in any way, shape, or form. Somebody recently asked me, I was out and about, and their heart was in the right place. They weren't saying anything mean or wrong, but they said, oh, during this COVID thing, did your church apply for some, you know, these loan programs that the government puts out? And I said, no. Oh, well, you could have qualified for it. I said, I know I could have qualified for it, but I don't want to owe the government money. It's called conflict of interest. I preach too hard against the government to ask them for something. I make too many videos against the government. I say too many things about Gavin Newsom to hold my hand out to Gavin Newsom. Amen. What once made America great was this spirit of independence. You say, what's the spirit of independence? It's not grilling hamburgers and setting off fireworks, although I'm not against that. The spirit of independence is that I can go out and provide for my family. I can work hard, an opportunity will meet me, and the blessing of God will meet me, and I can be truly autonomous. Amen. You say, what made America great was an emphasis on hard work, was an emphasis on opportunity. Go to Proverbs 14, if you would. You're there in Psalm, just flip over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. I said, number one tonight, what made America great was an emphasis on the Word of God and the house of God. What made America great was an emphasis on the nuclear family. What made America great was an emphasis on hard work and opportunity. Let me tell you tonight, number four, what made America great once was the America's emphasis on righteousness and morality. Proverbs 14 and 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, you cannot be a golden cup and in the hands of the Lord if you are promoting wickedness and perverseness. It is righteousness, it is right living that exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, in the past, America has been a society of decency. Obviously, debauchery has always been around, but at least before it was hidden, it was secret. We're told about the homosexual movement that they came out of the closet. The idea is that they used to be hidden. It used to be shameful. It used to be something that, yes, it happened, but it happened somewhere in the dark recesses of the pervertedness of certain cities, not something that was promoted. In the past, America has been a society of decency. Today, America, in America today, debauchery is accepted and promoted and protected. We're told that 34% of evangelicals believe that abortion is morally acceptable. We're told that nearly half of young evangelicals today favor same-sex marriage. We're told that two-thirds of those who are 18 to 34 years of age do not believe that premarital sex is ever wrong. We're told that 59% of the majority of U.S. adults say abortion should be legal in most cases. We're told that nearly 1 million U.S. households are composed of same-sex couples. We're told that 54% of U.S. churches allow openly gay and lesbian couples to hold full-fledged membership. Today, we live in a nation where being a pervert and being a reprobate and being a predator is not only accepted, like we just had in the month of June here, Pride Month, it's promoted and it's also protected. In fact, today, they're trying to scare preachers like me who stand up and say, hey, it's wrong. Hey, it's disgusting. Hey, it's wicked. Hey, we got to get away from that. You say, what should we do? Put him back in the closet. Amen. If preachers would stand up and preach the Word of God, if God's people would stand up and make it known that we're not okay with it, we don't think it's okay, we don't think it's funny, we think it's disgusting. Amen. You say, you'll never get rid of it, but can it at least go back in the closet? Can it at least be hidden from the eyes of our children? Can it at least not be something that's promoted? You can't walk through an airport today without seeing some picture of two hairy, disgusting men holding each other and hugging each other. And you think we're going to make America great? Righteousness exalted the nation, the Bible says. America will only be great when she goes back to emphasizing righteousness and morality. When she goes back to emphasizing decency, when she goes back to fighting against debauchery, fighting against perverseness, fighting the predators. Today there are those who say, let's make America great. I say let's do it. I just don't think you're committed. Today there are those that say, let's make America great again. I say, hey, let's try it. But I don't think you realize what made America great to begin with. Say, what made America great was an emphasis on the Word of God. What made America great was an emphasis on the nuclear family unit. What made America great was an emphasis on hard work and opportunity. What made America great was an emphasis on righteousness and morality. And that's why I can say today definitively, America's not great. We don't live in a great nation tonight. Righteousness, the Bible tells us, exalted a nation. But we can't make America great. If men of God and the people of God would stand up and be known and make it known that we want to take America back. We don't like the direction it's headed. We understand it's end times Babylon, and we understand that there's nothing we can do about that. Those things are set in stone. But at least for a while, could it be that she could be a golden cup in the hands of the Lord? For just a little while. But we have to take America back. We have to preach the Word of God. We have to be righteous. We should love people. We should help people. We should obviously try to restore people. But we have to be clear about what we believe. We have to be clear about the Word of God. Here's all I'm saying. I'm saying what most Republicans say they want today. Let's make America great. But we're going to do it through the Word of God, through the house of God, and through the preaching of the Bible. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for allowing us to gather together. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that there is a church in Sacramento, California that is willing to stand up and be heard. We're willing to take a stand for the Word of God, to take a stand for the things of God. We understand that today this is called hate speech. We understand that today they would call us a cult. They would call us hateful. But Lord, help us to always side with the Word of God. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.